Time for an evergreen topic here on this edition of Locked On Vols: future schedules, the non-conference games, and why Tennessee is, quite frankly, just not that impressive. The most important game on the schedule for this upcoming football season, and baseball. The popularity continues to rise, but when will it begin to rival the other sports here on the Hill, if ever? I'm Eric Kane. Logan Ward will join us here for a Friday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into this edition of Locked On Vols, your team, the Tennessee Volunteers, every single day. I'm Eric Kane, your host, and you can find this podcast each and every day on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, 5 days a week, your go-to daily Tennessee football volunteers podcast. Of course, we talk everything Tennessee Volunteers here on Locked On Vols. As I mentioned earlier in the week, just a quick reminder, this is a pre-recorded episode, recording it earlier in the week. I am at the beach right now. I'm active on Twitter. You can find me there. If any news has broken regarding Tennessee football or whatever in the last couple of days, we're going to hit it the next time I do a live show. That'll be next week. So just remember, pre-recorded episode. And to help us out with that, we're bringing on our buddy Logan Ward. It's kind of the joke here on Locked On Vols. Whenever I don't feel like programming a show, I just say, hey, Logan, come join me and let's just talk for 30 minutes. We're going to do that again, man. Here in a couple of days, well, technically when people are listening and watching this right now, I'm at the beach right now. You're at work. So just think about that. How you doing?
I'm good. No, whenever you're out, I get thrown into the ringer. I got to wake up at 4 a.m. So hey, but hey, I hope it's very, very warm down there in Florida. I'll be down there in a couple of weeks.
Literally, you're going to be the place that I'm at right now, Longboat Key, just a couple miles off of Sarasota. That's where you are from. Santa Rosa. Is that it?
Anna Maria Island.
See, I always forget it. But anyway,
the West Coast of Florida is a beautiful, beautiful place. Yeah. I love the West Coast of Florida so much.
So when I come back, I'll give you an air high five and you'll be heading down. It'll be fun. But Right. Yeah, I'm at the beach technically right now in real time. You're probably, you know, at work 4:30 in the morning, so that's fun for you. A conversation that we've had, you know, dating back into, you know, earlier in the offseason is the non-conference football slate. And really, Tennessee's is not that impressive. We'll run through the list real quick. 2022, the key notes non-conference game. 2022 is going to be at Pitt at Heinz Field. 2023 will be at BYU. 2024 is going to be Oklahoma. Of course, the Sooners coming to the SEC. So maybe that's subject to change. Something added to that schedule. I don't know. 2025 is going to be against Syracuse in Atlanta, Georgia. Whoo! That's going to be fun. 2006 at Nebraska. 2007 versus Nebraska. Dialing it back to 1997. How are we? 2028 is going to be against West Virginia in Charlotte, North Carolina. Wait. We've done this before, but we're going to do it again.
This is Groundhog Day all over again. We've literally seen this. We saw it 4 years ago.
2029 and 2030, a home and home with Washington. I mean, here's the thing. BYU, and for a guy that's probably going to be going on these trips, at least I better be going. I'll find a way to be at every single one of these games to cover it. At Pitt's going to be fun for me, but it doesn't really get anything going. BYU is going to be, I can't wait for that game in 2023 because I've heard just awesome experiences about being at a BYU game. Syracuse and Atlanta, literally could sleep through that. West Virginia and Charlotte, again, we've done that. Washington, I have no issue with Washington, but that's where our conversation starts. Home and home, 2019, 2029, and 2030. You hate the home and home of Washington. Why?
I just think, okay, so yes, I understand that, and Tennessean fans made a very big deal out of this, and you know, if I make people mad, I'm sorry about this, but I understand that it is two of the places in college football where you can go to a game by a boat. That seems like the only reason that while Tennessee is going to be playing Washington. Let's be very frank. I could name four other, maybe even five other Pac-12 teams that have just as big of an allure and will do more for Tennessee than Washington. Why not play Oregon again? We haven't seen that matchup in a while. USC, Utah is really good. UCLA, Arizona State even does more for me than Washington. I understand it. Yes, they're... Listen, it's cool that you can get to Neyland Stadium and Washington Stadium by a boat. I understand that. But at this point, you got to look down the line. Tennessee, you know, 2029, 2030. this thing's going to an 8-team playoff. I get Washington has had some success in the past, but let's be very frank here, Eric. Chris Peterson's not walking through that door again. Ever again. He's retired. They had Jimmy Lake, fired him, now a new head coach. Who knows going to be the head coach there? This matchup, to me, it's just kind of, it's kind of boring. I understand it. Now, we'll see how good both teams are down the line. If Washington's going to sit there and, 7 years and be a top 10 team, sure, perfect matchup. But just the trajectory of these two programs look to be going in opposite directions. There's nothing attractive to me about this matchup whatsoever.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I can hear you and I understand some of that. I just, when I think of big non-conference games, sure, you want to go play the Texases, you want to go play the USCs, you want to go play the Clemsons. I mean, some of the power, of course, Tennessee plays Georgia and Alabama every single year. Go play Ohio State, Notre Dame. I hear all that, but it's also about the experience and also about the trip. I mean, Washington's going to be a trip. And so, that's kind of exciting. I remember when I was little, Tennessee played Cal. It was a home and home. And that's kind of what simulates a big non-conference game for me. So, does the game at BYU do anything for you? I mean, you talk about experience and see what college football is all about. Nothing?
I mean, it's cool. I get it. I hear it's a fantastic place to live. But, honestly, BYU solid. Kalani Sitake's still the head coach up there. I get that that's, a big, type of historic matchup, I guess, BYU football and Tennessee football. But quite frankly, no, because, I'm looking down the line when this thing goes to an 8-team playoff and Tennessee, if they want to be in that conversation, I'm just going to put money on it right now that BYU and Utah years down the line, of course, BYU next year is not going to be ranked inside the top 10. If they are, I would be absolutely floored. I'm going to put a lot of money on that Washington's not going to be that good here in about 7 years. Tennessee, we'll see. The way things are going with Josh Heupel, you want Tennessee to play a big-name opponent because, hey, your non-conference schedule, look around the country, Eric. You see Georgia, Florida, Alabama, some other Big Ten schools, Big 12 schools, ACC schools are beefing up their schedule with the anticipation that this thing goes to an 8-team playoff whenever the contract expires in 2025. That's going to happen. Washington, I wouldn't bet on them being good here in 7 years.
But the counterpoint to that is you play in the SEC. You're about to play an expanded SEC when Texas and Oklahoma joins the conference. Why on earth do you schedule a game like this? Who cares? That's my biggest thing. Everybody's like, you got to schedule a big out-of-conference opponent to help you out. If you're Notre Dame, if you're Clemson, if you're Tennessee, no, you don't. You play Alabama every year. Right. You play Georgia. You play Florida. To me, I'll take it, but who cares? You play in the toughest conference anyway.
It's just a situation that, Washington, I get there might be a little bit of history there. It's a cool place. Tennessee is trying to, while they're building their football program back to what it used to be, in the 90s, you want to expand that national brand because Tennessee, the Power T, as much as they haven't been very good in football in the last 10, 15 years, that Power T still means something. But I don't think you're getting any, positives or any, other than a win, you're getting no really big name recognition by playing Washington. Just going to be very honest with you.
What about Nebraska, huh? Scott Frost. Scott Frost will be gone by that happened. I mean, I hear you. I get it. This is a very not, Washington, it's fine for me. I don't care. That's a long way away. BYU is fun. But, Pitt, it is what it is, right? It's the second leg of a home and home. This is not that impressive. I agree with you. But at the end of the day, I guess my biggest thing would be so you play in the SEC, who cares, right? So that's my biggest thing. But this is, again, the schedule, the non-conference schedule to come here in the next couple of years. And here's the thing, too. You need the cupcake games as much as
you do.
Diehard college football fans say they want to get rid of them. No, you can't. You have – they serve a purpose. Number one, they serve a purpose as a chance to rest some of your starters, but to create some quality depth. You need it. And plus, those schools – I know no one cares about this, but those schools need those games because that's what funds their whole dang season. It really does. Tennessee will be at Pitt in 2022. Tennessee will be at BYU in 2023. Oklahoma at home in 2024. You have against Syracuse and Atlanta, Georgia in 2025.
What are we doing there? come on. What are we doing?
That's the one where That's the one where it's just like, yeah, you're exactly like, what are we doing? Who thought
that? I hate the Washington series. I hate the Washington and Nebraska series. The Nebraska series, sure, like Tennessee, the end means something. The team means something. This isn't the 90s. I get that we want to try to dial, you know, go back to that success for Tennessee football. At least they do, definitely. I mean, come on, Nebraska football has been a train wreck for 20 years. But hey, I like the Washington series. Yes, I like the Washington series, which I hate, and I like the Nebraska series, which I hate, a whole lot more than Syracuse in Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, come on. Hey, it's the Battle of the Orange, and you know what? Nobody cares.
Literally couldn't care about that Syracuse game in Atlanta, Georgia. That's in 2025. The Nebraska at Nebraska 2026, home in 2027. West Virginia and Charlotte 2028, and then Washington at home in 29, and then on the road cross-country in 2030. So that's a look ahead for the non-conference schedule. What about 2022? What's the most important game on the schedule and why? That's coming up next here on Locked On Vols. But first, let me tell you about Built Bar. Hey, summer, it's coming in hot. And this summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take you on those family vacations. Throw them in your bags, put them in your kids' backpacks. Make sure everyone has a Built Bar, and they're fueled up and ready for that summer adventure. You guys know this. I'm on a summer adventure right now, okay? I'm down at Lomboki Island. Before I left Wednesday morning, I threw some Built Bars in the old backpack, and I was ready to roll. I mean, that was my breakfast that morning, and, you know, it tastes good because there's so many different flavors, so many different variations of things that I enjoy. I love the cookies and cream, but more importantly, I love it being healthy. I love having protein, 17 grams of it, only 130 calories, but it's all covered and 100% chocolate, and you can find one that tastes good for you. They have hundreds of selections at Built.com. While you're there, go to Built.com. While you're there, 15% off if you type in LOCK15. That is LOCK15, where you'll get 15% off, all at Built.com. We'll go back into Locked On Vols here on a Friday morning. I'm Eric Kane, your host. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols, as always, your first listen. We've got Logan Ward, the intern, hanging out with us here today. Logan, let's talk Tennessee football 2022. We talked schedules for the future there in segment number one. Right off the bat, 2022, Josh Heupel's expected to take a big step. What's the most important game on the schedule for Tennessee football in 2022?
I mean, to me, it seems incredibly obvious. It's, you know, September 24th against Florida, right? It comes yet again. Now, I would have heard an argument for the Pittsburgh game if the whole Jordan Addison stuff didn't come out, you know, within the past week. Well, I guess days, if we're recording about this, about him potentially into the transfer portal going to UC.
And keep in mind, this is pre-recorded. This could all be resolved by the time you guys are watching and hearing this right now. But at the time of this recording, rumored to be headed to the transfer portal, rumored to be making a massive name, image, and likeness deal. Tampering is all over the place. It is chaotic, but it looks like at the time of this recording, Jordan Addison, the best wide receiver in the country, may not be a part of Pittsburgh's team when Tennessee plays him.
It's got to be Florida, right? So if not now, when are you beating Florida? I think that's a fantastic conversation to have because, I mean, me and you have both agreed, you know, Billy Napier is going to get players down there at Florida. Florida might not be this bad for a while, so we'll have to see about that. But I just look at what that game means for the season. You're going to beat Ball State. You're going to beat Pitt. You're going to beat Akron. At least you should beat all three of those teams. You should be 3-0 heading in. Florida comes up here. That is a must-win, very important game because after that, Eric, yes, I get you have the off week. Then you got to go to Death Valley to play LSU. After that, back-to-back, LSU and then Alabama. If you lose that Florida game, you're staring three losses right in the face, and all of a sudden, you have a 3-0 start, lose your first three games in SEC play, you're staring 3-3, and we're kind of looking around like, okay, this season was supposed to be a little bit different. I think they will beat Florida because I look at the, you know, Florida schedule to start the season. They have Utah and Kentucky. It's a very tough schedule for Billy Napier in year one, but the most important game on the schedule, a must-win game, is 100% Florida.
I'm agreeing with you. It's 100% Florida because, I mean, it's your biggest rival. It's a team that's absolutely owned you this entire century. If not now, then literally when? And that's the same thing we said about Georgia. If you're not going to win it now, Kirby, you're never going to win it, right? And people can say, well, I hate that argument because it's just going to be the next year. No, it doesn't work like that. It means Georgia just had 15 players drafted in the National Football League draft. Incredible, right? Florida might not be a powerhouse in 2023, but it'll be well on its way. It'll be better than it is in 2022. So that game's at home. 100% agree with you. That should be Florida. And I agree with you, too. If you lose that game, you might be 0-3 because that game down in Baton Rouge is going to be extremely tough. Same with Florida. Same with Florida times 10 because Brian Kelly is so much better of a coach than Billy Napier is. And that's not a slap in the face of Billy Napier. It just is what it is. Brian Kelly's a good coach. He is, again, a scumbag of a human being, but he's a great football coach. He's going to turn that.
I would say, yeah.
Say what?
I would say right now, Brian Kelly definitely more proven than Billy Napier.
By a long shot, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going to take this roster that was what? Were they 5-7 last year? Is that right?
I don't know, but they're not a 5-7 roster. I'll tell you that right now. They were not a 5-7 roster.
They hovered around 5-7. I'm stupid. 7-5, maybe. I don't know.
They went to a bowl game. I know that.
Okay. So then they had to win 6 games. So anyway, there's so much talent on that roster, and LSU is going to be. LSU will probably win 9 games this year is what I'm saying. So LSU is going to be tough, plus it's on the road. Then you have Alabama. So to be different, let's go Kentucky for me. Kentucky's at home. Kentucky's a good football team. Mark Stoops, who, you know, I adore, right, Logan? Mark Stoops has built this program to where the expectations are not there. He won 9 games last year, and he got the best contract, in my opinion, in college football right now. I mean, go look up his contract if you guys don't believe me. It is incredible. So they return pretty much everybody. They lose Wandell Robinson, who was just drafted. I get all that. But you got a quarterback that's not bad. You got a running back that's all SEC. You got a good offensive line. You got good play. You lost an All-American guard. I get that. You get a good defensive line play, solid defense. It's at home this year. You won in a shootout on the road at Kroger Field last year. You got to beat Kentucky because then you have Georgia coming up right after Kentucky on the road. So to be different, I'll say Kentucky because, again, it's a game against your rival. Historically, you dominate Kentucky. It's at home. And you're probably already got a couple of losses on the schedule with LSU and Alabama before that.
So, yeah, I get that. If you lose to Florida, definitely that is a must win. But it's kind of the same situation that Florida and Tennessee has. You know, no matter how good or bad Tennessee is, no matter how good or bad Florida is, we've seen it the last, 15, 20 years. Florida just beats Tennessee, and no one has any explanation for it. As I said, Florida could be horrendous. They still beat Tennessee, so it's very weird. It's the same exact thing with Tennessee and Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky had their best team in school history, went 10-3 that year, and still lost to Tennessee. A Jeremy Pruitt coach football team got blown out here in Knoxville. I get that. I think it's a bad matchup for Kentucky. Now, I think we all said that last year, and no one saw Kentucky putting 40 plus and going back and forth, scoring for scoring, like we saw last year in Lexington.
I'll say that.
But that happened 2 years in a row. Yeah.
That game plan. I said all week long, Will Levis does not throw the football a lot. His career high at Kentucky's 29 pass attempts. They're not going to push the ball downfield. They're going to slow it down. They're going to ugly it up. And at halftime of that football game, he had 27 pass attempts. So they game planned for him just to get out of his shell, to take the next step, to take advantage of Tennessee's secondary. And that all came from Tennessee's defensive line in front seven getting absolutely bullied. They were embarrassed in that football game. Tennessee's defense, but Tennessee's front seven was embarrassed in that game. So that was strategic by Stoops and that offensive staff, who I forgot his name, Cohen, whatever, that offensive coordinator, he's gone.
Yeah,
now.
Liam Cohen. Yeah. Yeah, he's gone. I believe, Rodriguez was one of the leading rushers in the SEC last year. Obviously, Levis at quarterback is a very, very good athlete. I don't think he's the best thrower of the football, but with that offense last year, you really didn't have to do that with Wandell Robinson and Rodriguez. But I kind of look at that game. I was like, yes, you always have the expectation going into that game that you're going to beat him, much like what Florida has, playing Tennessee. To me, you can survive a loss to Kentucky. I don't think you can survive a loss and achieve the things that you want to achieve with a loss to Florida, because you're staring three losses right in the face. I get you have Georgia after that, but I mean, no one this year is expecting Tennessee to beat Georgia. They just won a national title. They're having to replace a whole bunch of guys. But Kirby Smart, we just saw in the draft, 14 players drafted. They know what they're doing. Kirby Smart knows what he's doing. They're going to have just as much talent next year. It's going to be young talent, but definitely, I just kind of look at, you know, where it lines up on the schedule. If you don't beat Florida now, when are you going to do it? And B, you lose to Florida, you were 100% not going to achieve the things that you want to achieve.
That plus two, if you beat Florida, you're looking at heading to Baton Rouge, having a bye week, and it's a chance to really sit down saying, okay, things have gone well so far. Let's sit down, let's game plan. Let's go give LSU our best shot, because that's your off week. Go down there, play LSU, and then you got Alabama, UT Martin, Kentucky, Georgia. So just, you know, tough sledding from there. So potentially that's what Tennessee's schedule could look like to start things off. One more game I want to hit on quickly here when we look ahead to 2022 schedule. And they're getting a lot of hype. He's recruiting well. He's doing well in the transfer portal. He made everybody look stupid, myself included, last year by winning seven games in the regular season. Is South Carolina a team that can challenge Tennessee, can challenge Kentucky, and being in that second tier this year in the SEC? I'm not buying it yet. I'm going to continue to doubt. I think Rattler's a fine quarterback. I think he got benched by a better quarterback. He's got to play better. He's going to play better defenses here. I get that. Is South Carolina a team that can challenge? Is there anything to that next to last regular season game, Tennessee on the road at Columbia, South Carolina, that Tennessee needs to be on an upset watch?
I think, you know, possibly just because it is late in the season. I get, you know, knock on wood, injuries do happen, but it's, you know, the second to last game of the whole entire season, late November. You've played all your big boys, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, LSU this year, and Kentucky, for that matter, a very physical football team. I get the hype with South Carolina. Recruited at a high level, brought in Rattler from Oklahoma. I get that. I think South Carolina this year might be a lot better than what their record says, because they got to go on the road to Florida. They play an A&M every year. They play Georgia this year like they do every single year. I think South Carolina will be better than what their record says. It's not a place where Tennessee has played great historically, so the game could be tricky. I would say right now Tennessee will win that game, but that kind of has a bit of a trap feel to it, just for the fact I just said Tennessee, the last several times they went down there, hasn't played great. 2020, you could have argued, could have, should have almost lost that game. So I'd say
they muffed a punt.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think Tennessee wins that game if that putt is not, you know, muffed. So it's a bit of a trappy game, but I still think Tennessee's going to win that. But I do think South Carolina will be a lot better than what their record says.
Yeah, and after that Georgia game, Tennessee could potentially finish off the season 3-0. You're at home against Missouri, which I think is another. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz is recruiting well as well, and so, you know, maybe they'll have a bounce back. They should have been much better this past season, but at home against Missouri, on the road at South Carolina, and on the road in Nashville, so a chance to go 3-0. To end the season. So that's a look at 2022 schedule. Some games that are highlighted, of course, you guys knew, but Logan and I both were going to say the Florida game, because it just means so much because of where they are as a program, where they're headed, in my opinion, as a program in the years to come, the games around it. And with the bye week following that Florida game, a chance to really regroup and get into the heart of your SEC schedule with a 4-0 record to start things out. So another team that's really popular right now, nothing will ever surpass football, okay? We all know this. But a team that is just vibing right now for all the right reasons, that is Tony Vitello's Tennessee baseball team. The popularity and how it challenges other sports on campus when we return here on Locked On Vols. But first, let me tell you about Bet Online. Hey, I had so much fun last weekend with the NFL draft, and I'm sure you did as well at betonline.net. It's because I played the prop games, quarterbacks, you know, under 2.5 in the first round, hit that one pretty easily, right? Defensive backs, you know, draft or defensive players drafted by Florida, I hit that over, and that was a whole lot of fun. What about number of players in the SEC to get drafted? What about number of players for Tennessee? We all hit the over there because Theo Jackson was drafted. That was a shock. I had so much fun putting my sports knowledge to use, put a coin in my pockets. That was at betonline.net, and you guys can have that type of fun as well. Basketball playoffs are going on right now. Baseball season's underway. We just had a major championship in golf with more to come. There's plenty of items. And plus, you guys know I love to bet on NASCAR on Sundays. All that is at the disposal for you at betonline.net. You could have some fun. And again, like I said, put some coin in your pocket, sports knowledge to use. Visit the website, betonline.net, or on your mobile device. Check out all the latest trends and all the latest actions. Betonline.net, it is where the game starts. We're going to tie a bow on this edition of Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane alongside Logan Ward. Guys, appreciate you for watching on YouTube and for listening wherever you get your podcast. All right, so we've talked scheduling for the most part, 2022 and 2022 and beyond. Logan, now let's change gears a little bit. A team that is just vibing, a team that is popular, and deservingly so, the best team in the country by a large margin. That is Tony Vitello's baseball team. The question I have for you, Logan, what's the peak of popularity that you could see here at Tennessee for baseball? More and more people are jumping on that bandwagon. More and more people are supporting that program for good reason. How popular can it be in comparison to football and men's basketball?
So it's clearly never going to rival football. I mean, nothing in this town is ever going to rival football. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how good Tennessee basketball is. I don't think it can rival Tennessee well just because that's a major moneymaker. And hey, Rick Barnes has that program going in the right direction. You want to see some more postseason success there. I get that. But in terms of can it get up there, and, you know, I think right now it probably is more popular than the Lady Vols in basketball, and that's no disrespect to Kelly Harper and what Pat Summitt built there whatsoever. It's just in terms of right now what Tony Vitello has done, it's hot and it's sexy. This Tennessee baseball team has kind of taken on the life of Tony Vitello. And Tony Vitello, you had a perfect tweet that went pretty much viral in, you know, hashtag Vol Twitter the other day. Was he's taken on the life of this whole entire fan base, the whole cocky kind of swaggerness to it. I get that, but is it too much for me to say it's never really going to come close to men's basketball, even, you know, four or five pegs down until they win a national title? Is that too much for me to say?
I don't think so. I think you're spot on. It will never, ever, ever. And again, this is nothing on Tennessee baseball or Tony Vitello. This is just baseball in general. It won't come close to football. I mean, think about it. Baseball is America's pastime. You guys see behind me on the YouTube street, I love baseball. I'm a baseball. Logan makes fun of me because I'm a baseball guy. But the kids,
how are the Braves doing this year?
The Logan Wards, the kids, their attention spans, they can't sit there and watch baseball. They don't understand it. Logan doesn't get it. You know, it just is what it is. But it will never rival football, and that's okay. I think it could. It's not right now. I say this. If it's not right now, when will it ever, right? So it's probably not. It won't rival Tennessee basketball. I will say right now, women's hoops, Lady Vols, that brand, women's basketball, still would be more popular than baseball right now, but baseball could change that if it obviously wins a World Series. If it continues to have this type of life and energy under Tony Vitello for years to come, as it has the last 2 years and really the 5 years he's been here, because there's still such a strong, and there always will be, for women's basketball, for what Pat Summitt built here, and just that Lady Ball brand. And a lot of times they're not as active on social media or, you know, just in the mainstream like Tennessee baseball is or Tennessee football. But I think that could rival the Lady Ball fan base eventually. I'm not saying it is right now because I still don't think it is, because so many people are still recognizing what Tennessee baseball is, kind of buying into it and kind of joining the party, which is awesome. But I don't think it's there yet, if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying in terms of, I think it's tough to say with Lady Vols. Right now, I would say just based off, you know, history and that, you know, Lady Vols brand, what Pat Summitt has done. I mean, it's one of the best examples, probably the best example of literally building a program from scratch. Yeah. Tony Vitello is definitely building a program, but it was never from scratch. It's also kind of a hard question to answer because when the Lady Vols are really, really good at basketball in terms of, you know, Final Four, Elite Eight, national titles that we have been accustomed to seeing here in Knoxville for the Lady Vols. When they are really good, Tennessee baseball is not that good. Tennessee baseball is really good this year. The Lady Vols started out hot, had a bunch of injuries, didn't accomplish what they really wanted to in the tournament. I understand that. I like the way Kelly Harper is running her program and the history and that she's obviously playing what she played there. And the future of that program is kind of a tough question to answer because whenever one of them's good, the other one's not that good.
And maybe time will tell, because the way as long as Tony Vitello is the head coach at Tennessee for baseball, it'll be contending to host regionals, to host super regionals. It'll be contending to win the SEC and go to Omaha every single year, because the way he builds his program, you're seeing it this year with the arms, not just in the starting rotation, with the bullpen, the bats are coming alive. I mean, Tennessee, the big question marks were how are you going to replace that lineup when it turned over, you know, 6 of the 9 starters, right? Tennessee's offense is arguably the best in the country, and it's about, you know, it's on pace to be just a couple of shy, you know, from breaking the home run record, you know, being in the top 10 for single season history and NCAA record, right? So, you know, so we'll have to see maybe as time will tell. I know, like, you know, being in radio, you and I both know this, and there's no better example than a couple weeks ago, I put the title of the YouTube episode was Tennessee baseball and Tony Vitello, and the picture, the thumbnail was Tennessee baseball. And that episode in particular was like one of the lowest rated episodes I've had in, you know, probably the last month or two of this run that we've been on here on Locked On Balls. And it's not because I haven't been talking baseball. I talk baseball all the time now because they deserve it. But it's because I made it the title, I made it the picture. If people see that, they're more likely to say, oh, no, I'll catch tomorrow, or oh, I'm not, you know, baseball, yeah, I'm not in it. You put football up there, and you talk football, then you sneak in baseball, they'll stay for it, right? So that's just kind of we know what moves the meter here in Knoxville, and that's no disrespect to baseball because it's been incredible. But Logan, we'll conclude with this, man. What the fan base has done the last couple of years and adapting and jumping on the bandwagon and supporting this team, it's awesome because they deserve it. They're clearly the best team in the country. It's not even close. And I'm intrigued to see how much bigger that can get because it's already ginormous right now.
I think that shows, you know, how, you know, desperate Tennessee fans are for a, you know, consistent, yep, national title winner. I don't, you know, I get the desperate word is kind of thrown out a lot, and I don't, you know, throw that word out around lightly. But in this case, it is 100% the thing. Tennessee basketball hasn't had the postseason success that you would probably want to. Stuff needs to change there quickly. Tennessee football hasn't really been, you know, great competing for national titles, SEC championships since, you know, 07, you know, early, I guess the first 5 games of 2016. Now, with Tennessee baseball, any Tennessee sport, if they're really, really good, you're going to get the attention that they're getting now. I don't think that you would get the attention if, you know, if the Lady Vols, number 1 in the country, they're playing like South Carolina, they're playing UConn. I think that's definitely going to be a big game. But in terms, I mean, people are flocking. I mean, absolutely flocking to Lindsey Nelson Stadium to see this baseball team play Xavier, Tennessee Tech, Bellarmine. It's a sellout crowd every single week. I think that shows, you know, the program that Tony Vitello is building and just how hot and sexy Tennessee baseball is right now. It's great to see, but I still think you want to see some postseason success for it to get up there and say, hey, this right now is more popular than what the Lady Vol basketball brand is.
It was definitely hot and sexy a couple weeks ago for that midweek game against Xavier because your boy was in attendance out on the porch.
Yeah, so was I.
You were there too, but I'm talking about myself, so let me have this. Yeah. Logan, as always, man, appreciate it. Good conversation. Had a whole lot of fun, and I'm sure we will. You'll be asked again to come on and talk a little Tennessee football.
It's a long summer. It's a long summer. I'm here all the time.
Hey, check him out. He is at LoganWard98 on Twitter. He is the producer of the Eric Ains Show, and he does a lot of different stuff on Twitter. He puts out some picks. This guy knows what he's talking about with the numbers and at the windows. So if you want to, again, go to betonline.net and make some money, follow Logan on Twitter because he throws out picks all the time. Logan, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it here for this week of Locked On Vols. Thank you so much for tuning in as you do each and every day and for making Locked On Vols your first listen. We will be at it again starting next week with more Vols content, football, basketball, baseball, all the like. Can't wait to do it. And again, it's all to you guys for making this show what it is. So I really, really do appreciate it. Check out the Locked On SEC podcast. Make that your second listen. Chris Gordy does an awesome job by breaking down all the programs around the SEC, getting on great guests. Make Locked On SEC your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. We'll talk again on Monday, guys. Until then, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe and have a great Friday, everybody.